And we have again with us Mandy Evans. Mandy, thanks for being here again.
Yeah, I always love coming. Thank you for inviting me.
And actually, I threw out this invitation because you had sent out an email earlier in the week about an animal welfare issue that's coming up in Bonner County. It has to do with our municipalities, which have been contracting with the animal shelter to take in stray animals. And this is a contractual deal with the municipality. It's been going on for, what, 30-some years?
Yep.
Where your nonprofit organization takes in stray animals that are reported and brought in by the sheriff or the city police.
Yeah, so all stray or stray dogs, particularly, we don't do stray cats through contracts. So stray dogs are either brought in by law enforcement, so it could be a deputy or
resource officer.
Yeah, resource officer, or citizens. So in just shelters all over the country, the majority of strays are actually picked up by, wonderful people who find strays wandering around.
And how many animals of this nature that are brought in as strays is the shelter handling each year right now?
So last year it was 406 dogs that came in, which is 26% of our overall intake, animal intake, and about 56% of our dog intake.
So a big chunk of the animals that are in the shelter are strays that are being brought in. How many of those end up going back to their owners?
We used to, in years past, boast a pretty significant return to owner rate of, at one point, it was 85%. Now it's dropped to, I believe it's around 50%, which is also a trend we're seeing that people, I think it's due to the economy.
So just to back up a minute, you said that the stray dogs that are coming in through either through other resources and or through people bringing them in, stray dogs, that it's what's the percentage? You said 28?
26% of our overall intake. That includes cats.
Then
it's 56% of the dog intake.
So what's the other percent of the intake? How does that happen?
Those are owner surrenders.
Okay.
Yeah. So people who can no longer care for their animals.
Thank you.
And so there's been a contract with the city of Ponderay, the city of Sandpoint, and Bonner County to handle these stray dogs that are brought in. And that's actually a requirement by Idaho's code, right?
Yes, it is.
There are some parts of the Idaho code that require municipalities to seize and impound stray dogs and also to mandate humane treatment and medical care of stray dogs. So it's not like the cities and the county can say, yeah, well, we don't really want to do that.
Exactly.
They have to do it.
Yeah. And Mayor Grimm in the July 3rd meeting asked legal counsel, if we chose to not do this, what would be the repercussions? And she said, you'd be reported to the attorney general and fined for not following the law.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this contract's been going on for 30 years. And right now you have put a proposal forward that would increase the contract because your costs have increased.
Yeah.
And why don't you give us the lay of the land right now with the proposal to renew these contracts?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been with the organization for 13 years. And in those 13 years, I've tracked our intake per municipality every year. And I don't have all of those numbers off the top of my head, but it's been pretty significant. And for many years, we have known that what we charge the municipalities is far less than what it is costing us. But we've been able to sustain. Now we can no longer subsidize the contracts. And mainly it's because the economy is impacting our area residents, rental policies, all these different factors that are leading people to need to surrender their dogs and cats, or they are seeking our assistance to cover veterinary care. Veterinary care in our country has increased 60% in the last decade, far exceeding inflation. So the cost of having an animal is very expensive right now. All of our nonprofit resources, helping people with food, helping with veterinary care, all of that has all increased in need. And the cost has also increased significantly. So we're at a point where we have to evaluate our resources and realized that we were subsidizing government work and that we really couldn't do it anymore. So we spent a great amount of time last year evaluating our expenses and how we wanted to do this. We followed industry best practices that have moved away from this per dog rate of like $30 per dog, because the cost is so much more than that. So we presented our proposals to the three different municipalities back in March. And so far, there have been no conversations or negotiations, which I thought would happen. The conversations that we have had have been about primarily telling us we're wrong. What they believe they should pay and what we're asking is so divergent that we have not been able really to have a conversation. So what it is, it's come down to is really the community understanding. The community and citizens have to understand what's happening right now, because we're a contracted provider. There's no obligation to use us, and I get that. I've told them if they do it on their own, I'm happy to assist with humane practices to ensure they're meeting standards. But what they've budgeted is far below what meeting those standards would be. As an example, the city of Sandpoint, which is the only one that I know how much they've budgeted, is budgeting $7,000. And last year they helped
$7,000
for 100 dogs.
For per 100 dogs.
Yeah.
For the whole year.
For the whole year. Okay. Yeah. And
is that how much they've been paying the shelter?
They paid us $2,400 last year to cover.
And the 100 dogs is not the number that you're seeing.
No, it is. That's what we saw last year.
From the city,
just the Sandpoint.
The Bonner County actually produces more
250 dogs.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So,
and does that include
out of that 400 gross between these, the whole group of cities and county, the cities of Sandpoint has about 100 of those dogs.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yes. County by far has the most.
And does that include citizens bringing in stray dogs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And jurisdiction is based on where the animal was found.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So with $7,000, even them doing it themselves, I'm like, you're going to want to budget more than that. So we've communicated that, and they basically have said, this is what we're going to spend. So for the city of Sandpoint residents, it's, in my opinion, like if your dog goes missing, or even being a good citizen and you see a dog roaming and you want a safe place to bring it, you really need to understand, how is the city going to do that? What does that look like? We don't know what they're going to do and how they're going to do it.
Okay, so right now, you mentioned in our pre-air comments here that that owner surrenders tend to take quite a number of days on average with the animals, right, to either rehome them or find...
You're talking about scheduled intake?
Yeah.
So the way that our organization works is if somebody calls us and they have to surrender their pet, we usually will have at least a two-week wait period. It could be longer. Because we can control the intake of those animals or manage that intake, we are going to be looking at factors. It's not just about open kennels. It's, do we have enough staff to properly care for the animals coming in? And with stray contracts, there's no choice there. We have to take them in. We take them in 365 days a year, and we have no option to say, oh, we're out of space. And a perfect example of that would be in 2023, January, we started receiving phone calls that there were a large amount of huskies that people were finding all over the region. And that fell under Bonner County, and they were strays. So we knew there were anywhere from what we were told was 30 to 50 dogs coming into us. So we were trying to figure out, okay, how many folding kennels do we have? What other location can we put these dogs in? And my team came to me saying, we can't take them in. I'm like, well, we're contracted to take them in, so we have to figure it out. Luckily, 23 dogs, I believe it was 23, came in, and we were able to accommodate that. Then the sheriff's department called me and said, Mandy, in order to prosecute these people for abandonment and neglect, a veterinary evaluation has to be done on each dog, and we do not have the budget for that. So in order for them to do their legal requirement of upholding the law, they did not budget enough money for that. So we said, you know what, we'll do it. So we did it. It cost us $26,000 to care for those dogs, riddled with parasites, malnourished, the gamut. And
these dogs, just to back up a moment on that, these dogs were owned by some people that couldn't all care for them and just let them go.
Yep. They were in dire straits. They made bad choices, mm-hmm. and they didn't abandon them all in one place. They kind of like just dropped them off, mm-hmm. and they knew who did it. So we have an opportunity to prosecute someone for this horrible act. And so we went ahead and we did it. We went to court. They were prosecuted. We were awarded restitution and $26,000. Restitution was overturned in another court, saying that what we did was voluntary.
What you did was meet your mandate and your mission by being humane to animals.
And what we did was what law enforcement should have done, mm-hmm. and should have paid for, that we paid for, and we never got reimbursed for that. And we also had donors that were annual donors that would call us and say, hey, my $500 donation, I want it to go towards the Huskies. So it does impact our overall general operating because money was diverted to help these dogs. Then we had another abuse case where the girl was caught on video hitting her dog with a gardening spade. Well, she is being, it's an abuse case. The dog is held as property because she wouldn't relinquish the dog. So we held that dog for 5.5 months in our care with high anxiety, so treating anxiety to try to give it the most pleasant experience possible. That cost us $8,000. No restitution. We're not paid back. Then, in addition to that, we're holding a contract where 250 dogs come into us, and the county paid us $15,000 for that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's the lay of the land right now, and you're proposing some increases.
Yes.
Based on, you've broken down the percentage of stray dogs that each municipality is bringing in over the course of the year. City of Ponderé, you're asking for them to budget $19,184 based on 7% of that total that you're averaging in stray dogs from them. City of Sandpoint, 24% of the stray dogs are coming from the city of Sandpoint. You're looking for $65,773 from them. And then Bonner County, which has the bulk of these, 62% of the stray dogs are coming from throughout the county. You're asking them for $169,913 to start just covering the costs you are incurring from these strays coming in. That's a ton more than the these municipalities are currently been contributing. So what's their posture right now? There are all these governmental units are in their budgeting season right now.
Yes, yeah. Yes, they are. So I think it's been surprising, actually, the way that our communications have been. Bonner County, I never heard from them until I think it's been 3 weeks now where they just said they're not going to contract with us. Ponderé reached out and asked questions. Sandpoint, we've probably had the most communication with. But, you know, every one of them has known about this since March, and I don't believe that any of them have a plan to actually execute this on their own, nor have they increased their budget to, in my opinion, even meet the standard if they're doing it themselves. But they certainly haven't budgeted to contract with us. I also want you to know that we proposed different payment options, right? And one of those is a 5-year plan. So we say, hey, we know that it's increased a lot. So year one, pay half. Then the next year we do a little bump up, the next year bump up, until in year five is where you're actually paying us that amount to try to give them space. There's no rollover debt. There's nothing that, you know, you have to make up the half that you didn't pay for. We'll cover that half. In trying to be in a goodwill, like help you meet your budget and also have these services done. And so far, no one is budgeted even to meet the half mark.
So by statute, when they take in a stray dog, they have to hold the animal for a minimum of 5 working days. Is that right?
It's 5 days, excluding weekends and holidays.
Okay. And have any of these municipalities talked about their plan to take care of dogs for that 5-day period, what their plan might be to return, make sure dogs get back to owners, a lot of these strays, people were trying to find them, and then what happens after 5 days?
Yeah. So the hold is a 5-day hold, excluding weekends and holidays. So if we can just say it's basically around 7 to 8 days, depending on. Each of these municipalities would have to bring in those dogs and care for them over that period of time. The national average for return to owner is 35%. And in order to get higher than that, you really need to have great communication and information and posting those dogs publicly so people know where to find their dogs. I haven't seen anything that would lead me to believe that any of the municipalities will have anything higher than the national average or even lower. So that means, using the city of Sandpoint as an example, is that 100 dogs come in, only 35 of those dogs will be reunited with their owners. What will happen with the other 65? And the other 65 will remain in their care for those full 7 to 8 days, requiring, hopefully, to be walked and out of the kennel, cleaning, sanitizing, all of it. Like, even laundry. How are they going to do laundry? How are they going to do the dishes? After that, Chief Kuhn, in his proposal on July 3rd at the council meeting, said that after the hold period, they would euthanize the dogs.
After 7 to 8 days max.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that means that of the 100 they receive, 35 will go home and 65 they were planning on euthanizing. Even if you look at the numbers in that, so, I mean, 65 even times 100 is more than what they've budgeted. Or no, about what they budgeted. That's not including feeding them.
And where would they be holding them?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm glad to be here today, because there's a meeting tonight at City Council at 5:30 at the City Hall, where they're going to be discussing budget. There is a public comment section in the beginning of the agenda. But we really, this is a value. This is a moral value question of our community. How do you want animals treated? This isn't about us awarding the contracts being awarded to us. This is about how you want your stray dogs to be treated. And going tonight and saying, you know, we want to see transparency. How are you planning on doing this? How are our tax dollars being spent? Do you want your tax dollars being spent killing dogs when there is another option that is available in the community?
Mm-hmm. So the Better Together Animal Alliance is a private nonprofit corporation.
Yep.
And this isn't really about, as you described earlier, isn't really about we need that money. In fact, because you're losing money on these stray dogs right now. If you don't renew contracts at these levels that are way below what it's actually costing you, what kind of position does that leave the BTAA?
Like, if we were just to do it, continue to do it?
Yeah. Let's say the contracts, you know, they don't contract you this year. Is that going to impact you negatively?
Oh, no. I mean, when we're helping 406 dogs and getting paid $18,000 for it, it does help us because it is not part of our nonprofit function. And the nonprofit side of our business is really in demand right now. So that means that we can be bringing animals in that need to be surrendered. We can increase the ability to help people with veterinary care. But more than anything, it just stabilizes the organization. Mm-hmm. If you think about restaurants right now and how they're needing to close certain days of the week because they can't afford, it's the same thing happening to us. When your local fast food restaurant is offering positions that are $18 an hour, our members of our team are not nonprofits. We have to pay them a competitive wage. So that has driven our costs up significantly. Insurance. They're in LA County and City, there are huge lawsuits right now that have been awarding very large rewards for people being bit by dogs. That has impacted the entire insurance industry. Our insurance policy was canceled. And not because of anything we did or that we had any claims, but the insurance company decided to no longer insure shelters. So we were only able to find one insurance provider, and it doubled in cost. So we have to make sure that our team is highly trained. This isn't something you have a bunch of volunteers doing. They are trained. They know how to bring dogs in safely, that we vaccinate upon intake so that we're protecting the community from infectious diseases, that we have really strict protocols in place. We're professionals. We follow the shelter veterinarian guidelines on how you manage herd management, how you manage the care of all of these animals that we have in our care. Last week, we had 109 animals in our care. Like, we have to be on top of it. And that costs money.
So just to go back to the point that I was getting to. This isn't like, we need that money, we want these contracts. This is really about, how are we going to care for stray dogs, and are the citizens activated on this point? Do you understand that the city and the county may be undertaking a service that they're really not equipped to do right now? They're not budgeting for it, as far as you know. And then what's the result in humane treatment for the animals?
I mean, that's what it comes down to. And if you look at Idaho code, it says that the law enforcement is supposed to uphold neglect and abuse, right? So if they get a dog that comes in and its leg is broken, it would be neglect to let that dog sit in pain for the 7 days. Mm-hmm. So they have to go provide care. And even if that care is getting a, not an antibiotic, but a pain reliever, and maybe just a splint to ensure that it doesn't get worse. So this is a great way to explain it as far as even an animal shelter. Every time an animal comes into our care, there's no way that we ever recoup the cost of that animal. So when a shelter is a nonprofit, we are covering those costs through nonprofit dollars. When a shelter is run by the police, they know that those are going to be costs that are eaten up. So when a dog comes in, let's say the dog has a broken leg, you take it to the vet, it's $250. You can recoup that cost by charging the owner if they come forward, but if they don't, you immediately lose it. And then the time frame comes where their stray hold is up. Well, now do you, like for us, we would have just fixed the leg immediately. But do you keep that animal in care? Well, now every day in care is costing you money as you're trying to adopt. So there's no amount of money, even with the fees and what they think they can charge with citations, return to owner fees, adoption fees, anything that will fully recoup the cost that you're expending per animal.
Mm-hmm. So this kind of brings to mind, for those of us that have been around long enough, prior to the shelter facility that we have now, the shelter was on Great Northern Road. And were you around then, Mandy?
I wasn't in the position, but I remember the old shelter.
It was a horrible facility. It was dirty. It did not allow for humane treatment of those animals that were held there. And then, you know, the community did coalesce as a nonprofit organization to build the shelter that we have now that can handle adequately these needs. I don't know. I'm flashing on. They're going to have some kind of situation like that. If you know, where is the city or the county putting aside a place where they're going to take care of these animals in a humane way?
Yeah. And the old shelter, the dogs were housed outside and they were provided with hay. And then when it got really cold out, they would do a call out to people to come foster the animals overnight when it was really freezing weather. We have an all, and I actually put that in questions, is if you're going to do this, is it going to be in a residential area? Do you have we have sound ordinances? Like, there's just a lot of things to consider.
I think what's amazing is that that we already have an organization and a facility that can care for these animals. So why not put the money where the facility is already set up and also has the philosophy to take care of them properly behind it? And we're talking about, I don't know exactly what the figure would be, but to really look at each individual or the statistics and say we need to cover those costs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know the city and the county, they're pretty close to approving their next year budgets right now.
Yes.
And this conversation was something that you started in March.
Yes.
But there was not any dialogue on this until just recently.
Yeah. I mean, we'll know. I mean, even now, if you say that there's progress being made, is there? I mean, I don't know if there is, really.
Is it because they're not communicating with you? Because you've reached out.
Yeah, we've been reaching out. But again, most of the conversations have been not productive, I guess you could say.
So you presented to the council, city council?
So, yeah, we were afforded the opportunity to present to council. Sandpoint was on July 3rd. And then, and if you are interested in watching it, it's at the beginning of the meeting. And then following me is Chief Kuhn. So I would recommend you watch both. And then the city council for Ponderay was that Monday.
Okay.
And I have not been offered the opportunity to present with Bonner County.
But have you reached out to the county commissioners?
Yes. Two of the commissioners have toured our facility. And both of them have said that they would work on having a contract meeting that has not taken place and no request or scheduling.
And right now, all three of the municipalities are saying, we're just going to take care of it and we're going to, you know, no longer contract with you. That's what you have at this point?
Wheeler, so Bonner County is the only one that actually communicated with us that they will not be contracting with us.
And that was Sheriff Wheeler?
Sheriff Wheeler,
yes. Does this come out of his budget then?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's law enforcement, yes. So, and then the only way that I am, my understanding or that they're not going to contract with us in Sandpoint is simply that they have not increased their budget above $7,000.
So Bonner County is not going to contract. What are they going to do when they pick up strays?
I have no idea. I do not know.
They
what
don't
their
have
plan
a plan.
Is.
But they are mandated to.
Yes, they are required by law to,
as you said,
to do this.
Well, I, you know, flashing back to that Great Northern Animal Shelter that we had, if you could call it a shelter, is there going to be? If what position would your organization take if the municipalities say, okay, we're going to take care of our animals in terms of monitoring the care that's given to these animals? Because I could see how, you know, policemen or deputies, they don't want to deal with this kind of stuff. They'll throw them in a cage and, you know, give them some food and water, and that'll be about it for 7 days. And then if what Chief Kuhn says is right, then they would euthanize them.
Yeah.
Is your organization going to have some kind of monitoring of this?
Well, I will. First, I just want to say that the actual police and the deputies that we have the opportunity to work with are absolutely fantastic. And I actually feel really, really bad for them because, like, we had a deputy or a what is it called? Dispatch call me on a Friday night. And said, somebody was arrested and he has three dogs in the car and they're vicious and we need to get them into the shelter. Can you have a team meet me there? So looking at the overtime costs and all that, like, okay, it's not covered in your $15,000 we've already spent. But of course, we're gonna go do it. So I have two team members go out and they tow the car there. And we have to line it up so that we can open the door and we have like fence paneling so that we can get these dogs. It wasn't three dogs. It was six dogs. Mm-hmm. But the deputy like jumped in and was helpful. And I'm thinking these poor guys that are faced with these decisions and like having to bring them in. And then who's the poor sucker that has to drive the dog to the clinic, mm-hmm. right? So what our position is, and we're actually going to have a meeting on this because we haven't fully scoped out what it will look like. But if they're going to do it themselves, we are not as an organization going to sit back and just say, well, you know, we're not going to be helpful. So I want to make sure that I think that they believe that what we do, they don't understand the complexity of what we do. And so they look at like vaccinating upon intake as just this extraordinary like thing that you're supposed to do. And it's like, no, it's actually like policy and part of really good practice. So we would get and see if they would allow us to get involved in just assisting them. And then we'll work on other proactive measures that we can do to support
rehoming
the community stuff like that. Dogs. Yeah. Like what can we do to help? Mm-hmm. But it literally, I do believe that they're, I mean, this is an assumption, but I do believe that they think that we'll just continue to do it. And everyone should know this because more than one person has come up to me and said, well, then it's fine. I'll just bring the dogs to you. When it is a function of law enforcement, we are contracted to act in a function of law enforcement that's required by law. If we are not contracted to do that, we cannot take those stray dogs in. You have to bring them to law enforcement to perform that act. So that right. If you will have, you cannot bring them to us if we
and,
don't.
And
get
you already
the dogs.
Mentioned, and in owner surrender situations, you have to get ready for that. So you can't just walk in one day with your animal and say, "Hey, I'm moving. I need to give you my animal."
Yes.
You require people to give you more lead time.
And people definitely do that, and they definitely get really, really mad at us. Mm-hmm. And what this probably is inappropriate, but what I like to say is that it's not Harry Potter land. We can't open magical portals, and we are held to high standards, even in the community, for humane care. So if mm-hmm. we have an outbreak or animals are sick and injured in our care, people get really upset with us. So the only way to manage appropriate levels of health and welfare, we have to manage the intake, which we are not able to do with strays. So we're constantly having to figure out, well, we need to make sure that this number is available because we don't know when strays will come in.
And on the, humane treatment subject here. So a stray comes in, let's say the stray is really sick or injured.
Yes.
What happens in the shelter right now?
So in the shelter, we have wonderful medical care. So that we had a dog come in that we've actually this year had three dogs come in that have been shot by gun, been shot. People know what that means. And one of them came in with a broken leg, a huge cut on the side. And we were able to call our veterinarian. The vet came in immediately and was able to provide treatment for that animal. The treatment and medical care for those cases is not part of this contract. We will provide that still for law enforcement. If they contract with us, that is provided through our nonprofit arm. But yeah, like if a dog's eye is falling out, there's a requirement that you treat that dog. If the dog comes to us, that dog is going to be treated immediately.
I'm just taking a wild shot here. Could the deputy or the policeman that brings it in say, this dog is so sick or injured, we just need to put it down right now?
Per the law, they have to go to a licensed veterinarian, and the licensed veterinarian has to say, this dog needs to be put down because of its life-threatening issue. Because we're talking about someone's property, you mm-hmm. can't just dispatch somebody's property. You have to follow the laws.
It's complicated. Just want our listeners to know that this is 88.5 KRFY. You're listening to The Morning Show, and we're here with Mandy Evans, Executive Director of the Better Together Animal Alliance, and we're talking about stray dogs. And it's really interesting how complicated and dimensional it is, and the work that you're doing, and how what you're facing. The one question I have is, citizens can be volunteers. They can advocate with the municipalities that are making not coming forward with the appropriate amount of support to the shelter. And what else can they do? Donations?
Yeah, we've actually, again, due to, I think, the economic challenges. I mean, all of us know our grocery bills have shot up.
Yes, they have.
Lots of things are going up. So when that happens, our community, there are certain behaviors that start to happen. Number one, people might shop in our thrift store a little bit more. But on the flip side of that, our donations go down in the thrift store. People are holding on to their items longer. And then you have on the shelter side an increase in the need for animals to come in. But you also have a slowdown in adoptions. So for years, we have had a wonderful average length of stay of like 5 days for dogs. So dogs in and out. I mean, honestly, Mike, I'll admit it. I was like, I've solved the dilemma of sheltering. Like, look at us. We've got all these community programs. We're keeping animals in homes. This is the best. And then the last couple of years hit, and our average length of stay for a dog went from 5 to 20 days. Mm. And if you look at it as 20 days, it costs us about $50 a day to house and care for a dog. So at almost $1,000, you never recoup that. Mm-hmm. So it's just been a lot. So the best thing that people can do, and what we've also seen is that we have these great large donors, right? So maybe a donor that gives $5,000, $10,000, those have stayed relatively even. But our everyday donor, the bread and butter of any organization, has dropped. So we are lower on our donations. So when you look at this from the municipal contract side, our donations are lowered. Okay, well, now let's scale our intake and our services based on the income we have. I can't do that with strays. So when you give me $2,400 to support you all year with 24-hour service and a heated building and all of it, how am I supposed to sustain my entire organization and what I'm committing to you? So again, that's why there's an increase. So donating, even that $10, the $1, the $5 is hugely impacted. It is the bread and butter of an organization. If you have room in your home for an animal, adopt. Please adopt. We have wonderful dogs in our care that we have, and this again has been years since I've been faced with this, 3 dogs that have been with us a year. One of them got adopted the day after his year, and we have 2 other ones that are reaching their year. We have wonderful transport partners that we can work to send them to a different shelter, so a different audience, and then we take some of their dogs. But our community is just, we've slowed down on the adoption side. Fostering is also a great option. Volunteering is a great option. But be prepared if you want to volunteer on the dog side. You are going to go through extensive training. It's not that you can just come in and grab a dog. Mm-hmm. Extensive training.
So to make a donation.
Yeah.
And here's a little thought. $5 a month.
Yeah.
It's $60 a year. It's not too hard. Yeah. And that makes a big difference is what you're saying. So how would someone go about doing that?
They can go to our website. We have options, I think, pretty much all over it to make a contribution. And then you can sign up to be a monthly donor. And then you can always come by the organization. If you have questions regarding the contract situation and you want to reach out, you can email info@btanimalalliance.org, and we're happy to answer questions. We're also happy to give people tours so that they understand the complexity and the scale of what we do.
Mm-hmm. Educating the community is
absolutely
very important.
Yeah.
And that website's bettertogetheranimalalliance.org. And you do have a page of information about this current situation with the contracts with the municipalities. And there is a section here on how you can help with this particular issue. And if you're a resident of either Ponderay or Sandpoint or Bonner County, there's a really, I think the way I'm looking at this, it boils down to a question, what's the humane treatment for these animals going to, what's the result in that? And you make yourself known to what your wishes are to your elected representatives. You know, I mean, there's some folks that are saying, yeah, we got too many strays, get rid of them in 7 days. But there may be folks that say, no, we want to make sure that our animals are treated humanely. So it's both a legal requirement and really a moral question for people to settle for themselves.
Yeah. Mm. And I do believe, like, it's not, we're advocating for the humane care of dogs, but it really isn't up to us. It is the citizens and taxpayers. Mm. And I was passing by these 2 kids that were holding on to a dog, and they were making phone calls. And I thought, like, that is so cool that it doesn't matter who you are, and like, you're stopping and you're helping that stray dog. And thought, oh my God, that's so sad to think that, you know, what will be, where will they take this dog? again, like, it's not about us. We're happy to provide the service on a contracted basis like we have been doing. We can guarantee the care, treatment, medical care, all of it of dogs coming into our facility. If they decide to do it on their own, I'm happy to work with them. But the community really needs to demand transparency in how these dogs are going to be treated to ensure that the law enforcement is actually doing it. Where do people go to bring the dog? How will they know if their dog is there? What's the process for that? Mm-hmm. It's really up to the community members to speak up. And those letters, they mean something. Like, we put on the website, and again, if you can't find the particular area of the website, email us at info@. I'm more than happy to get that information to you. But email your public officials, letting them know that this is something that you value, so that they value it in their budget.
When you think about it, the Better Together Animal Alliance is providing a service that is not really budgeted fully and not cared for. So then you're taking away from other things that you have to do at the shelter, and it's not equitable. It's not sustainable.
No.
I can't imagine.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, so I think it comes down to just knowing what the plan is. For instance, well, okay, municipalities, what's your plan? And if they're really only budgeting $7,000 for the year, for instance, City of Sandpoint, is that realistic? Because the city's going to have to pay, whether it's budgeted or not, to meet their statutory requirements here. So, you know, if you're a budget hawk, you might want to say, I think that item's a little bit low there.
And instead of setting up your own kind of 7-day holding shelter, we already have a facility with BT Animal Alliance that is already set up for that in a really good way. Mm-hmm. You've done amazing work.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we do have just a couple minutes. If you want to mention anything else that's going on with the shelter, you had a pretty big event called Empty the Shelters that you ran through July. How did that go?
That was great. Yeah, we are really lucky to partner with Bissell Pet Foundation, and they pay us per adoption so that we can provide free adoptions. Right now, we've seen it's actually kind of nice. The cats have been adopted fairly quickly. It's always fun to come this time of year to the shelter to see the kittens. So we have changed our operating hours. We're actually closed Sunday, Monday now to the public, which is directly related to budget constraints. Now, whenever we're closed, that does not mean that we're not there. We have people there, staff.
We take care of the animals.
Exactly. Yeah. We can never take a full day off. Even in a snowstorm, people come in and take care of the animals. So we're closed Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday through Saturday, the care center is open from 10 to noon for administrative tasks. So if you need to go grab some food from our food bank, you can do that. You can put in an adoption application, but not get the animal yet. You can get a spay and neuter voucher. So a lot of these or make an appointment to meet an animal. And then at noon is when you can go into the cat and kitten rooms. You can visit with dogs. And we do that because a lot of things happen in the morning. We're cleaning kennels. Every one of our dogs will get walked. And then they go out for outside time, fed, all of that stuff. All happens before noon.
And the cats have to have their naps too.
Yes, those cats. And the kittens right now, oh my gosh, these kittens we've received this year. You know, is it Grumpy Cat? Is that what it is? Like, that always looks like it's scowling?
Oh, yeah, guy.
Yeah, we had like two litters of those kind of kittens.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, holy cow, people, you know, these are nice kittens. Like, people would pay a lot of money for them. Of course, that's not how we value the animals. Like, right. We have a set fee. So right now it's a really fun time to just visit the shelter. All our cat rooms are open. So you can go in with no intent to adopt. It's great enrichment for the cats that you come hang out with them.
And it's good for humans to have a purring cat near their body,
yeah,
because it raises your endorphins.
Yeah, and it lowers your risk of heart attack.
There you go.
Yes, there's a lot of studies. There's a Habri, HABRI.org, is an entire organization dedicated to the human-animal bond and research and the positive benefits of pet ownership. It's a great website, and I mean, they do legitimate studies that show that, like cats, reduce the risk of heart attack.
There you go. Okay, so.
Well, thank you, Mandy Evans.
Thank you.
Executive Director of the Better Together Animal Alliance, for coming in and talking with us. You did mention there's a city council meeting tonight.
Yes, city of Sandpoint.
It starts at, I believe, 5:30.
Yes.
Yeah, and so if people are listening to this and they want to see how the city's going to make plans to take care of these animals, if they're going to get rid of the contract, tonight might be a good night to go and see what that plan is.
Yeah,
as much as they talk about it, they'll have a lot of other business.
Yeah, so just from the agenda, it's public comment is towards the beginning. The spot bus is doing a presentation, and then right after that is public comment. Because they're such a robust agenda, I'm not sure how many people they will allow to come up and speak. So even if you come and you make like a little sign, like 8.5 by 11, not something obnoxious that says like, I support dogs, whatever it is, just so that they can visually see that the community cares about this issue. And then at the end of August, there will be another opportunity at that council meeting where they take public comment specifically on the budget. But that is getting really close to finalizing the budget. We need them to know that this is something the city residents value. And then ultra important that you start writing letters to the commissioners and sheriff about the treatment of dogs in the county, because we have absolutely no idea. It has not been communicated to us when those budget meetings will happen, or even inviting us in to discuss the contract.
Okay. Mandy Evans.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming in. I learned a lot, actually. And this interview will be podcasted on our website at krfy.org a little bit after the show today, so you can hear all this valuable information, things that we need to know because we're part of this community.